chapter 19, if you'll look at that, it's about the triumphal entry. This is Palm Sunday. This is what we recognize and associate this story that I'm about to read to you. But I'm only going to pull a small portion of it out. If you'll look at verse 28, chapter 19, verse 28. This story is told in all four of the Gospels. Some stories are in a particular Gospel or maybe repeated. Each of those Gospels were different eyewitness accounts, but this story was recorded in all four of the Gospels. But I pulled from Luke on purpose because of something that it says. So verse 28, when he had said this, when Jesus had said this, if you want to look what this was, you can look later, look back. That can be a homework for you, an assignment. I don't like to preach from therefores and from like this, but when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. That was actually a common expression of joy when they would do that. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice, listen to this, for all the mighty works they had seen. They were attaching that praise, that triumphal entry praise, was not just a random praise. That was an attached praise, for they had engaged their mind, remembering everything that he had done, everything that they had seen from the past, the mighty works, and they were doing it with joy. And the proof was that was the laying down of their outer garments. That was recognized as an expression of joy. So they were reviving the memory of things that Jesus had already done. And that's what we talked about last week. It's so powerful to do that, to draw back. If you've ever been through something, and you have, that is a part of your weapon. That is a part of your praise that is like a weapon, and you use that. You know that your praise is a weapon. You do know that, right? Three of you so far, so let's start all over and talk about our praise being a weapon. You know that your praise is a weapon, so don't stand there with a weapon when you're being attacked by the enemy and not pull out the weapon. The weapon is what you've already done for me and brought me through when no one else could. I'm going to lean into that praise knowing that what's about to happen, I'm going to have to go back until I hear something, a report from y'all that y'all got this. David, when he faced Goliath as a boy, said, I remember the lion and the bear that came and attacked me, and God gave those into my hands, and this Philistine, Goliath, will be the same thing. God will hand me into his hands. You see the weaponry of that? Praise is a weapon. So with a loud voice they praised him, verse 37, for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd. Hecklers. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. It was very disrespectful what they were saying. But they hated him so much that they didn't want to hear his praise. And knowing that Jesus was a humble man, they're like, you can shut them up. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. If you don't know the rest of the story, read it when you get home. Part B of your homework assignment. But I have to stop right there because of what Jesus said was so different than other times. Jesus answered to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, if the people who are reporting praise, if the people who are speaking praise from a revived memory of what I have already done in their life, if they were to be quiet, these stones would cry out. Way back when I was a youth pastor, I had a big old rock that I found, and I took a permanent marker, and I wrote on that permanent marker this little phrase. It said, if you don't praise him, I will. That works. That looks really cool in a youth room, by the way. You know, I would try anything. And I would tell my wife, I'd go preach at some places, and she said, how was it? And I said, I actually thought I didn't hear the rocks praise, but I thought I heard them humming. And here's what's so amazing about this to me is that time after time, you would see where Jesus would heal somebody, and what would he say to them? Don't tell anyone. See to it that you tell no one. Isn't that an amazing thing? He just healed them, and then he told them, don't talk about what I just did. But this time is different. He said, if they don't talk about what I did, the rocks will cry out. There's a shift that's taking place right here. The time has come. His time has come. Otherwise, he would have been exalted. They would have tried to take him and worship him them and then and set things in motion that it just wasn't time for. Timing is important. And the time had come. And I say it again. I want that to click inside of you. How many times I would wonder about that. Sometimes I'd be like, Jesus, you just healed them and then you told them not to tell anybody. It's not that the praise is not important. It's very important. But that was on purpose. But I can tell you that that time has changed and that time is no more. And now we're on the other side of that. Our praise to him needs to take place. And what he's done for you, he needs to be praised for what he's done for you, from you. Because I can praise the Lord for what he's done for you, but it doesn't mean the same thing to him that it does when you praise him for what he's done for you. Amen. Amen. Matthew Henry said something in commentary, and he said those those rocks actually did cry out to God. When Jesus died, and it says that those rocks were split and the earth quaked and the dead, the earth gave up its dead. He said that was an example of that. And some of his followers stood off from afar and witnessed it in silence. But the centurion said, surely this is the Son of God. Amen. So I want to share something else with you. These rocks crying out. Even this colt that had never been ridden before that was ridden by Jesus. You know what the protocol for that is normally, right? If you've ever been around horses, I had a brother that raised horses, that broke horses, that would actually lunge horses. That's when you put them on the end of a rope and run them in circles. And up in Ohio in the big farmland and the big mud fields, he would take, I saw him take one of the meanest stallions I've ever seen. And that horse was muscle bound and he was so mean, he would kick barn planks off of the wall. And he said, I'm going to win with that horse. And he said, I'm going to ride that horse. And he lunged him till that horse was almost dead in a muddy field in a circle. He just kept on and kept on until that horse had used all of his strength. And he finally just jumped up on it and laid across it. And that horse didn't like it, so he lunged him some more. And he finally won, and he was the only one that could ride that horse. It's in a horse's nature to have to be broken. But when you are the one who controls nature, that horse just let him ride him because he controls nature. Psalm 148 gives us an example of this. It says, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him from the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. So praise is a commandment. Nature recognizes it. You believe Scripture? Nature recognizes it. Those rocks, they would cry out, and I believe that they will cry out. But there's not going to be one rock on this earth that ever praises in my place. I say it again. There will never be one rock on this earth that will take my place in praising him. I'm just like all the boys that grew up as boys my age, we picked up rocks and threw them at things. And I can't help but pick up rocks still. I still love to pick up rocks. And because I always get this thought, if it's gravel, it might have been crushed down from granite. But all the other rocks, you know this, they're not inventing any new rocks. I'm holding something that stood the test of time. It's been around a long time. And I think about that whenever I hold a rock in my hand. You won't praise for me. You're not going to praise for me. All of nature praises him. I don't know how many are like me, but I love to be outside. Even when I can't get through the woods, a lot of times I'm up before the sun rises. I'm up when it's dark. I'm always looking at the Weather Channel. You know that's a sign of age. I always know when the sun's going to rise, what time. I'm old. I get it. But I love to be on my back porch if I can't get to the woods. I love to hear the first bird chirp. Have you ever heard the first bird chirp? You know what it's followed by? The second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. That quick, it's like the earth, I call it the earth waking up. And I love to hear the earth wake up in the morning. They get it. They're singing his praise. And as soon as one starts, the choir joins in. Like they're awake now. They're awake now. They get it. And they do it all day long. How many of you guys remember the last eclipse that we had when it actually got dark outside for a while? And depending on where you were at, I loved that. And I remember hearing the crickets chirp and the birds. And I was telling my wife, I said, y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? And it got so quiet and still. And then it came back to life again. I said, I bet you they're tripping out. See, we saw it on the weather report. Because I'm old. We saw that. We knew this thing was about to happen. So, lastly, I want you to look at John 4. Because this is important. And this is what I want you to take with you. Because your testimony matters. Jesus meets a woman, a Samaritan woman. He meets her at the well, and he has this conversation with her. And those who are around are amazed because culturally she wasn't supposed to be speaking to him. She was gathering water at a time of day when she thought that no man would be there, and there he was. And they're having this conversation, but this is Jesus, which we can gather out of that. Jesus is not bound by any of our cultural protocols. He does not go by what we go by. He's Jesus. He's Lord. Nature understands it. Do we understand it? He's Lord. But there's this wonderful thing that happens in John 4, verse 29 and 30. I want to read those two to you. Jesus has basically just read her mail. And she says this. She leaves and goes to town, and she tells people that she said, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Her story was not particularly glamorous. And what you go through in your life, when we confess things, we only really have to confess them to Jesus. And all of your story, everyone doesn't need to know, because probably everyone can't handle all of your story, but he can. And she went away from that and she told people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. I can only imagine, knowing what we know of her story, what a relief that was to her. Can you imagine having lived a life where you've done so many things that wherever you go, everybody's whispering about you? There are people in the Bible who are known by their infirmities. They were known by what they did. And we do the same thing today. We'll attach an action to somebody instead of their name to them. You know the person that did that, they did that thing, and everybody knows, oh, yeah, that one. Can you imagine the relief for her? She said, there's a man that told me everything that I did. Come see him. I think he's the Messiah. And they came and they saw him. But that's not the end of the story. Timing. Look down at verse 39 to 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him Because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. See, your testimony is important. People got saved off of that testimony. People came and found out who they were. But so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So much power in that right there. That your testimony matters. And your testimony can help get someone in the door. But your testimony only goes so far, because now he's going to give them a testimony. And they're at the place where they can hear his word. And your part was whatever it took to get them here. I'm believing for salvations. Christine, will you come? And I'm believing that your testimony is important. And I, when I talked to you guys last week about stacking wood on the fire and doing right things, and that the payback for that sometimes is an enemy that will not sit and will not be quiet and will turn up his attack to try to match what you're doing in the kingdom, I went home and it didn't stop. I could tell you thing after thing after thing every day. Not just a thing happened, things happened. Amen. Somebody, did more happen to any of you next week? Amen. So what did that mean for me? Did that mean I was going to stop? No. I'm going to praise him more. I'm going to praise him more. Because I've realized that my testimony matters. And that I'm going to come through. And however the enemy acts, I said jokingly to my family, I said, "That's it. I'm not preaching anymore the way I've been preaching. I'm just going to stop. We're going to start preaching prosperity messages. We're going to start buying houses. And all we've got to tell them is the options that we want. We're going to get the cars that we want." And all that nonsense that some of today's stuff is. But however it is, it won't always be that way. I know one this morning that I talked to that we've prayed for, and they're in a tremendous amount of pain, but they're here. And with another couple, we celebrate what God's done in your lives and the good news that you got. And so one's celebrating here, and one's in pain here, and both of you are in the right place. And worship is the appropriate response in both cases. So wherever you're at, you're not going to stay there. That's called life. And there's these ebbs and flows and high tides and low tides and seasons and changes that take place. And you're here and you're there and you're here and you're there. But that's a part of our testimony, isn't it? Amen. Y'all want me to quit? You better say amen. Y'all know, hey, y'all know you get quiet, I get nervous, I talk my way out of things. Your testimony is important. Your testimony is important. If you've understood what I said this morning, I want you to say this: my testimony is important. Say it again. Now, can you attach a praise to your testimony regardless of where you're at? If you're in a high or a low, can you attach a praise to your testimony right now? High or low, can you do that? Thank you, Lord. Our testimony is important. Our testimony proves the presence of you in our life, God. It also proves the hatred of the enemy of your presence in our life. And we're going to celebrate your presence in our life. Wherever we're at in life, we're going to celebrate your presence in our life. You're worthy of it. You deserve the praise. Help us to see you very quickly in whatever circumstance we're in. Help us to recognize the truth of your word, that you're always with us and that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And truly, this thing is not about what we feel, because we would be deceived if it were. But it's about what we know. And let the knowledge of who you are be a solid and firm place inside of us, that we'll not be shaken and that we will not stumble through our walk with you, Lord. We can lean into that. We can rest in that, and we can find solace in that. God, you're our Father, and you watch over us, and you see. Can somebody just right now say, Lord, thank you for your timing. Thank you for your timing. Can somebody else say, now, Lord, I'll trust you for your timing. I'm going to trust you in your timing. Can you, come on, just speak these things. I'm okay with being in some need right now, Lord. I'm okay with being in some need. I'm okay if you're teaching me patience. I'm okay for you to teach me patience. I'm okay if it's your will for me to wait a minute. Can you just tell him, God, I don't want to get ahead of you anymore. I don't want to move in that. I want to walk in step with you, Lord. I want to be at a place where I trust every step with you and that all of my steps are ordered. I don't want to be at a place like Job when he said, shall we trust God only in good? God, I can go through adversity with you. In Jesus' name. Listen, I said last week, I don't ever want to surpass Job. Job, you got the title. It's yours. But I read back through that this week, and I looked at that, and something jumped out at me I'd never seen before, was his wife. I never understood Job's wife. I never understood when adversity came. I know what a portion of that tragedy is. I know what it is to suffer loss at that level of at least one family member. I know what that feels like. And to lose all of them at the way that they did. But her response was, Job, will you curse your God? Why don't you just curse your God? And the only other real information we have about her is that she was the wife of the wealthiest man around. Don't forget that. That's what struck me, is that Job's wife, he had the livestock, he had the land, he had the stuff, and yes, great tragedy. Even the enemy said, your servant Job, God, your hand is on him, he's been blessed. She was a part of that as his wife. And we don't hear any of her complaining about having everything she wanted. But as soon as the bad struck, she said, curse God. Make sure that none of that is inside of you. That we could only receive blessing from God and not adversity. Yes. Can you just receive that as instruction and just being warned by that? Tell him again, God, I'll go through adversity because you'll be with me. You'll help me. I trust you, God. This might be hard, but I can do hard because you'll help me. Thank you, Lord. I say that because there's so much gospel that's preached that only associates if it's good, it's God. That's out there. I'm telling you, that's false. That is false. It's false. It's not scriptural. And it will wear you out, and it'll put you in a place that you ought not to be. Don't listen to that kind of thing. You can walk through something. You know, God, this thing I'm going through, it's my testimony, and you're going to get glory for it. Amen? You stand with me this morning.